Israel, Amrim Shema Israel.
And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, Command the children of Israel that they bring unto thee pure oil olive beaten for the light, to cause the lamps to burn continually in the tabernacle of the congregation. And it shall be a statute forever in your generations.
The Eternal Light. The National Broadcasting Company and its affiliated independent stations present The Eternal Light, a program which comes to you under the auspices of the Jewish Theological Seminary of America. Our program today, Summer of Decision, is written by Virginia Mazur and is presented as a tribute to the work of the New York Herald Tribune Fresh Air Fund.
He who sustains a single life, it is as though he sustained the whole world. Listen. These are your footsteps. You're coming home. The elevator door closes softly behind you. You put your key in the lock. You open your door. You're home. Safe. No. Wait. The window. It's open. Listen. Close it. Close it quick. Turn on the air conditioner. There. That's better. Now you can relax. The cushions of your easy chair are soft. The air conditioner gives a reassuring hum. You settle back for the 6 o'clock news.
Today, six teenage gang leaders, allegedly involved in the knifing of a teacher at Public School 213, were rounded up by the police. In another part of the city, a block-by-block search continued for the two hoodlums who early last evening beat unconscious and robbed James Mulroney, 75, as he was returning from a corner drugstore with a pint of ice cream for his bedridden wife. He was so badly beaten.
Yes, the world is full of trouble. But it's far away. If the news offends you, turn down the TV.
Meanwhile, at City Hall, top educators, social workers, and youth board officials are meeting to discuss the pressing problem of juvenile delinquency. The statistics.
And it's a problem, all right. Juvenile delinquency. But the experts will take care of it. You'll look after your own. They're tucked into bed now, well scrubbed, well fed, well loved.
According to one expert, Superintendent of Schools Dixon, the basic problem is how did the children get that way? Society, he says, must assume the blame.
Society. That's a comforting abstraction. Society means all the others, not you. You're a liberal man, a righteous man. You've fulfilled your responsibility. But wait. What are the limits of responsibility? Who has defined the boundaries of love? You go to the window again. You hesitate. If you open it, it won't be pleasant, you know. The police car has turned the corner now. The siren is fading, but the deed is done. The window is open. Listen. Somewhere out there, somewhere in that brownstone wilderness that lies about you, a woman is weeping. It is the sound of despair itself, despair that acknowledges no comfort.
Mom, quit crying. Please quit it. I'm going to stop up my ears. Is it Vincent, Mom? What did he do?
What do you say, Vince? What do you know about your brother?
I know nothing.
You saw him, maybe? You saw him before you came upstairs?
No. I ain't seen him since this morning. I'll go and look for him if you want me to.
No, you stay here. You stay away from that street. One son is enough to drive me crazy.
Mom, what's the matter with you? What are you carrying on about Vincent for?
I can't talk to you, Nikki. Times like this, a woman needs a husband.
I'm sorry, Mama.
Son needs a father.
I don't even remember what he looked like.
You were 5 years old when he left us.
I hate him.
Don't say that. It's a sin.
Okay, I won't then. Mom, Don't cry anymore. Vince is okay. Every night he goes out like this, and you don't worry.
Tonight's different.
Different how?
You're too little. I don't want to talk to you about it.
Well, you have to talk to somebody.
I begged him over and over. Don't join any of these gangs. They're bad. They'll make you do bad things.
Well, what makes you think Vince belongs to one of these gangs?
I got eyes to see with. He's different from the way he used to be. He walks different. He talks different. This morning after you went off to school, I looked under his mattress and I found it.
You mean his old switchblade knife?
What do you know about switchblade knives?
He had to join them, Mom. He had to join them or else get hurt. Cool, he hasn't got a chance around here.
Nikki, not you. Not you, too.
You don't want me. I'm too little.
You swear it?
On a stack of Bibles. Did Vince know you found his gun?
Took it, and I hid it. And I stay home all day to wait for him. I don't leave the house, even to go to my job. At 5 o'clock, he comes tearing up the stairs. I'm sitting by the window, but he don't even notice me. He goes in the bedroom, and I hear him rummaging around. I took your gun, Vincent, I called to him. And you aren't going to get it back anymore. He came over to where I'm sitting. Give it to me. Give me back my gun, he says to me, quiet-like. I got to have it. And he don't look like Vincent. And he don't talk like Vincent.
Did you give it to him? Did you, Mom?
What else was it going to do? I was afraid of... I was afraid of my own son.
Somewhere out there, somewhere in that brownstone wilderness that lies around you, a woman is weeping. You can shut your window, shut out the sound, or you can leave it open to the trouble that's around you.
Don't cry anymore, Mom. Go to bed. Vince will be okay. You'll see.
No. Nothing will be okay anymore.
Listen. Someone's coming. I'll bet that's him now.
No. That's not Vincent's walk.
I'm going and see.
Nikki, you stay where you are.
Mom, you gotta go to the door.
I'm coming. Who is it?
Miss Simmons? Are you Mrs. Simmons?
Yeah, I'm Mrs. Simmons. Who are you?
It's the police. You better open the door.
It's Vincent. You came about my son, Vincent?
That's right. He's been in some trouble tonight. I think you'd better come with me.
Where have you got him? Have you got my boy in jail?
No, not jail. Vincent is in the hospital.
Dr. Devers? Dr. Devers? Dr. Devers?
Officer, is he hurt bad?
I'm afraid so. Pretty bad.
Who did it? Why did they do it? Why?
We don't have the whole story yet, but looks like a gang knifing.
I told him.
I suspect his gang went down another gang. There was a rumble.
He wouldn't listen
and...
to me. But you're the police. Why don't you stop them? Why?
Mrs. Simmons, you'll have to keep your voice down. They're sick people here.
But why, officer? Why?
We do what we can, but it's too big for us. We're not social workers, psychiatrists. We're cops. We try to keep law and order on the streets, but... No. Listen, Miss Simmons. Here's where they've got Vincent. You've got to keep calm.
Yeah. Calm. I'll try to keep calm.
Doctor, this is the boy's mother. Is it all right?
Doctor, my son.
I'm afraid you're too late.
Late? Too late?
Now, the boy, your son, Vincent, he's dead. Vincent, from the Latin word to conquer. With great pride, she had named him Vincent. Now Vincent the Conqueror is dead, bled to death from a knife wound in his abdomen, bled to death on a stretcher in the emergency room of a public hospital.
Why? Why? You tell me, Doctor. Why? Why?
Your window is open. Can you hear her question? Can you give her an answer?
Why did it happen? Why? 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 Why?
I wish I knew the answer, Mrs. Simmons.
You're a smart man, an educated man. You were Vincent's teacher. Why did it happen? He wasn't a bad boy.
No, he wasn't a bad boy. I had him in shop for 2 years. When I heard what happened, I felt I had to come and see you.
He used to talk about you. He liked to make things.
Mm.
He made that lamp that's sitting on the table.
Yes, I remember. He made it in shop.
It was my Mother's Day present last year. This year, he didn't make me anything. Why?
Well, something happened to Vincent. You could see it happening. He lost interest. I knew he was running with a tough crowd.
Did you know he joined up with that gang?
I suspected it.
Then why didn't you stop him? Why? Why?
Why didn't I stop him? How much do you expect one man to do? Oh, well, I was different once. I remember my first year of teaching. I was different then. I'd stay after school with my door open, waiting and hoping they'd come, wanting to reach them somehow.
But didn't they? Didn't they come?
Oh, a few came, but it seemed so futile. To help one or two children when the problem was so big, it was like spitting on a forest fire.
A forest fire, yeah. It's spreading all over. I don't know what's happening anymore.
Well,
the kids nowadays, they're bad, just plain bad, all of them. No respect.
No, it's not true. It's only the bad ones you hear about. They're just an island in the ocean. The rest are good, decent youngsters. Now, you take Vincent. He wasn't a bad boy, really. Somebody could have saved him.
It's too late to talk about Vincent. Well, what about Nicky?
I can take care of myself.
That's what your brother thought.
It's bad enough now. What's going to become of Nicky when school's out and he's loose on the streets all day? I dread to see summer come.
Standing at your open window, you hear her tired voice.
I dread to see summer come.
And a montage of all the summers you have known unrolls before your eyes. You see the summer ponds of childhood. A small boy on a diving board above the leafy water. You see a white-breasted sailboat thrusting its wings into the wind, a pair of skinny brown hands at the tiller, and above them a pair of stronger, protecting hands. You see the meadows of heaven, abloom with stars, and a man and a boy gazing up at them.
Look, son, there's Orion the Hunter.
Oh, I see him. And there's his little dog. I never saw his little dog before. Dad, Is it true that every single star up there is a sun like our sun?
That summer, as you remember it, but only a few blocks away from your doorstep, another kind of summer is on its way.
Hey, you kids, get on the street. If you want to play ball, find some other place.
Drop this.
Mom, give me a dime for ice cream.
You had a dime already today.
Well, what else is there to do?
Oh, stop nagging. Nothing but nag all day long. I hate to see summer come.
What's the matter, Joe? Who's the police after now?
Just a bunch of kids. They caught them taking dimes out of the parking meters.
Lousy young'uns. They're too soft with them.
Yeah.
They take them down to juvenile court. What'll happen? Nothing. The judge will put them on probation. Next week, be the same thing all over again. Lock them in jail like anybody else, I say.
I don't know. They come out of jail worse than ever.
Then what's the answer?
Search me.
It's bad enough now.
Summer comes.
In the country now, the wheat is up, The barley and Timothy, too. Green as a katydid's wings. The purr of the tractor is like a lullaby. It's good growing weather for crops and for children. But in the city, it's a different story. You look out of your window upon a city that waits for summer with dread. Already, the police department is geared to meet the summer. More cops on every beat, more nightsticks swinging, more arrests. On the street, summer calls to young Nicky Simmons. Can you hear it?
Nicky! Nicky! Hey, Nicky!
Mom, let me go down.
No.
Please, Lemmy.
I told you and I told you. How many times do you want to hear me say no?
Hey, Nicky! Nicky! Come on down!
It isn't even dark yet. What do you expect me to do?
I don't care what you do. Just stay off the street.
I can take care of myself.
You talk big. What about Monday? You came home from school with your shirt torn off you and a knot as big as a hen's egg on your head.
Well, what can I do, Mom? Stand there and let him take my lunch money? You gotta fight.
Fight and be dead like your brother Vincent.
Might as well be dead as penned up here. Mom, what am I going to do when summer comes? What am I going to do?
Nicky! Nicky! Come on, Nicky!
Hey, quit chatting me! Why don't you? I can't come down. I told you 100 times.
Oh, come on. Don't be chicken. Your mother's not home.
Well, she'll be back in 10 minutes. She only went to the grocery store.
Then come on down for 10 minutes, man. We got something for you.
We've been keeping an eye on you, Nicky.
What are you keeping an eye on me for?
You're Vince's kid brother, ain't you?
Vince was one of us.
You keep your trap shut, Bingo. I'm doing the talking. Well, like I said, we've been keeping an eye on you. We saw you on the school ground the other day bopping with these crusaders. You got heart, man. Just like Vince had heart.
Vince is dead.
Yeah, old Vince is dead. But he went down jitterbugging. He didn't punk out.
Old Vince had heart.
Vince is dead. Nothing you say will bring him back.
Yeah, Vince is dead. But you're alive, man. You ain't gonna let him get away with it, are you?
What can I do? I don't even know who killed him.
We know. And we're going down on him one of these days. You're little, Nicky, but you got heart. We decided we could use you. What do you say?
Well, I say no. I don't want to have anything to do with any gang. All I want to do is mind my own business.
Listen, man, there ain't any place in this world for a coolie. You're little. You need protection.
Let me alone. I gotta go upstairs.
Wait. We got something for you. Here.
I don't want it. I don't want any knife.
Look at it, man. Look at it.
It's Vince's knife.
Yeah, we took it off him before the cops came.
I don't want it.
You gotta take it. You're his brother. You take it and keep it. One of these days, man, you're gonna need that knife.
In the country now, the miracle of the season is taking place. Apple, pear, and cherry are in an ecstasy of bloom. You remember a prayer your grandfather used to say on seeing the first trees in blossom.
Praised art thou, O Lord our God, King of the universe, who hast made thy world lacking in nothing, but hast produced goodly creatures and goodly trees wherewith to give delight to the children of men.
But where, you ask? Where in the city are their delights? Where are the delights of the children of men?
Take it. Take it and keep it. Someday you're going to need that knife.
I'm coming. Who is it?
It's Mr. Asher.
Oh, Vince's teacher. You came before.
I came too late before.
Well, everything's a mess, but you can come in if you want to. I just got home from work.
Thank you.
Sit down over there.
I can't get Vince off my mind.
Suppose you were me.
I don't sleep nights. There must have been something I could have done for him.
Nobody's blaming you.
I blame myself. I stood by and watched it happen. Kids in the street have an expression. They call you a coolie if you don't join them, if you play it safe. Well, that's me. A coolie. I kept telling myself, the problem's too big for you. Let somebody else solve it.
Somebody else, yeah. Who?
That's the point. Nobody can solve it alone. But we all have a responsibility. We have to act. Yeah, I should have remembered what I once studied in the Talmud. He who sustains a single life, it is as though he sustained the whole world.
It's too late for talking now.
Yeah, for Vincent, yes, but not for Nicky. It's, Nicky I came about.
Nicky? What's he done?
Well, not anything. Yet. He's not in my class, you know, but I've been keeping an eye on him. And today he was sent down to the principal's office. He was carrying a knife.
A knife? Way to get a knife.
He wouldn't say it first, but after school I cornered him and he opened up. He wants to talk. He needs to talk.
Yeah, but the knife.
It was Vince's. Gang gave it to him, sort of a bribe, I gather. They want him to join.
I'd rather see him dead.
So far he's held out, but how long, I don't know. Looks like this is going to be a critical summer for Nicky. A summer of decision.
Dread the summer.
We've got to get Nicky out of this neighborhood, out of this city for the summer.
Oh, you talk. Coney Island's as far away as he'll ever get.
Well, I don't want to promise anything, but I've been asking around. There are various groups in the city, settlement houses, social agencies, religious groups who send children to the country for the summer.
Free? They have to be free. Takes every cent I make to keep us alive.
Free, of course. I was thinking particularly of the Fresh Air Fund.
What's that?
Sponsored by one of the newspapers in the city. Every year they send thousands of kids to camps or to live in people's homes in the country. It gets them out of the city, gives them a different point of view about the world they live in.
But when they come back, it's still the same world.
No, I don't think so. Some of the things they've been a part of stick. The feeling of people caring, of being listened to and respected. These things stay with a child, I think, till the end of his days. Oh, I'm not saying it's the whole answer, but what is? If even the smallest seed could be planted in Nicky this summer, if later all of us could help it grow...
What did you call it, this fresh air... what?
A fresh air fund.
Will they take Nicky? Can he go?
Oh, they'd take him in a minute. That's not the problem. The problem is money. Money to send him to camp, money to pay for his transportation to the family in the country that's volunteered to take him.
And where's the money come from?
Why, from people. People everywhere. A man in Brooklyn may send in $10, a woman in Newark, $5. Why, they even got money from a man in Sing Sing, a prisoner. He wrote that he wished somebody had given him a chance when he was a kid.
I see. Whether Nicky can go or not, it all depends on people.
That's right. But in the end, doesn't everything?
Your window is open. You stand there listening to the voice of the city. As you listen, you know that somewhere in that brownstone wilderness that lies about you is a boy, Nicky, for whom this is a summer of decision. You know that it is a summer of decision for you as well. Remember, he who sustains a single life, it is as though he sustained the whole world.
If you would like a copy of today's script, please send your name and address with 10 cents to cover the cost of postage and handling to the Jewish Theological Seminary of America, 3080 Broadway, New York 27, New York. And now we take great pleasure in presenting Mr. Clarence E. Unterberg of New York City, distinguished civic leader and member of the Board of Overseers of the Jewish Theological Seminary of America. Mr. Unterberg.
In a week or two, the summer will be upon us. In our American culture, vacations in the outdoors, the beaches, the lakeside, the mountain, have become as much a part of our lives as a free education, as a good home, as religious worship. It is a distinctive mark of our high standard of living. Yet in the city of New York, where there are nearly 1.5 million children of school age, barely 300,000, only 1 out of 5, will get away for a vacation with their parents or to a camp in the country. No wonder that juvenile delinquency figures rise during the summer months. Congestion, heat, boredom boil up a pot of problems. For many youngsters who lack competent adult supervision, who have no creative outlet for their imagination, who are confined to the dull routine of street living and the same few cronies, instead of being given opportunities for adventure, travel, and new companions, the end product can only be trouble. The wonder is that more do not get caught in serious mischief. Although year after year we have been pained as the statistics on juvenile delinquency continue to mount. The child who lives in the old or new tenement, who needs this new experience most, doesn't have a chance unless you and I help. The scent of a flower, a walk in the rain, to swim across a pond, to hit a ball on a grassy field without fear of breaking someone's window, to play Indian chief around a campfire, to go to bed with the echoes of the sounding of taps, is not only an unforgettable source of pleasure, but it may be the most influential character developing aspect of his life. The normal child needs it to grow up. The child beset with personal problems needs it first to help iron out the kinks in his life if he is ever to grow up normally. The Herald Tribune Fresh Air Fund is trying to give him an equal chance to attain this healthy life. Reiterated several times in the play we have just heard are the words of the Talmud. He who sustains a single life, it is as though he sustained the whole world. The child in the street, the child upon whom the whole world depends, needs no elaborate gifts, only the simple things that a sympathetic vacation home in the summertime will give him. These few weeks will be the means of fortifying the child physically and spiritually to face the varied problems that will confront him on his return. Support camps, so that they may give our children that strength.
Thank you, Mr. Unterberg. Our Eternal Light drama today, Summer of Decision, was written by Virginia Macer. Cantor Robert Siegel sang the liturgical introduction. Featured in the cast were Ann Seymour, Peter Laser, Nelson Olmsted, Guy Repp, Joan Christopher, Maurice Tarplin, Joey Fallon, Michael Mann, and Alan Bergman. The narrator was Norman Rose. This is Mel Brandt. Our program was directed by Parker Gibbs. This weekly program is presented under the auspices of the Jewish Theological Seminary of America. This is the NBC Radio Network.